Live from the In the Room studios located in the NetCarrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
All right. Welcome to your ultimate fantasy with DJ and Derek. Derek, you recognize that music?
It sounds so familiar to me.
I thought it fit the theme of the show, like the title of the show. It's got that, you know, somebody order a pizza type of sound to it, you know what I mean? Somebody order some cable. What does that sound, but it's from the original American Pie movie when Jim was doing his dance and stuff with
oh,
Nadia.
The camera.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
With the t-shirt and stuff and dancing on the chair like he was riding a horse. Oh,
yeah.
Man. Anyway, welcome to your ultimate fantasy. I'm DJ, and that's Derek. And I thought it was a perfect theme song for our first show ever because it really made me think of, you know, the name of the show. Kind of goes along with, I said it last night on In the Room, makes me think of, remember on Raw they used to have those advertisements for the phone numbers after Raw was over? It's like, call in. We want to talk to you.
Yeah.
That's what this song made me think of as well. So, anyway, we're live. VOC Nation Radio Network, and you know, I guess I have to say the name of the network, even though I don't feel like it, because of the wonderful promotion that we've had for this show. It's just been a mess, absolute mess. We were supposed to be on last week, we weren't on last week because, you know, I don't know why we weren't on, but we weren't on last week. We're there now. And I asked there to be promoting. Actually, my quote was, I think, can you guys promote the shit out of this for the next couple of days? Because, you know, we need it now. Because it's going to be on in 3 days or whatever, and nobody really knows about it. You got 100,000 Twitter followers, and fantasy football is the most popular thing in the country. You would think that you could promote that a little bit, but I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Anyway, the phone number, 855-VOC-RADIO. That's 855-862-7234. Derek and I will be here live for the next hour talking fantasy football. And if nobody calls, we're just going to be talking about our own teams, which is, you know, a great thing. And I mean, I'm missing the premiere episode of the league tonight to talk on the radio. And, you know, that's the show that all fantasy football owners love. So that's probably not a good time slot for us Wednesday nights between 9:30 and 10:30 because most people are probably watching the league unless they're DVR
yes.
or something. It's a great show. So what do we got, Derek? I mean, first game is tomorrow night, Packers-Seahawks.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a great game. It should be a good test for that Seattle defense. But I know that our illustrious program director, Brady, he's got like 17 teams or something because he's missed the wrestling show because he has to draft like 45 times and all that kind of stuff. So how many teams you got going this year?
I only have two. I don't know how Brady manages all those teams. I'm having a hard time with just two, so I can imagine. I think he has, like, what, six or seven or something crazy like that?
I think 77 or something like that, yeah. It's ridiculous because I was actually just talking to him to complain about the lack of excitement for this show before we came on the air, and I said, you know, you have too many teams when you start having overlap of your players against your players. If you get to
exactly.
the point where you start playing and you got to, like, root for one of you guys to do kind of good because you're playing against them in another league, you're too into it. You got too many. You can't split your allegiances.
It becomes an addiction, and you would think it'd be hard to enjoy any football game because you're pretty much watching almost all the game with the rudimentary. So that kind of makes the games least, you know, not as enjoyable.
Yeah, and I mean, we're doing a fantasy football show, so we're not trashing fantasy football by any means. But to me, when you got too many teams, you can't even really concentrate on one team because you have to worry about, you know, you start benching guys that you should be starting because you're worried that they're going to beat you in another league and whatnot. So it's just it just gets craziness. Anyway, I'm not even really in a league this year because I just, you know, took the championship in the league I was in last year. And I have a habit of winning a title and just leaving with people's money and finding another league. But, you know, I'm involved somewhat with another league. I know somebody that's in a league, and I kind of, you know, help them out with their team. They did very well. It's a 14-team league, which is way too big, in my opinion, 14-team league. 12 is the most I've ever been involved with. 10 is, I think, perfect. But 14 is obnoxious. And had the 9th pick in a 14-team league, which is just shit at that point because all the running backs are gone, the top 6 running backs are gone, and you're really getting nothing. But in this league, if you could pick 2 receivers to have on your team, Derek, who would they be?
Well, after last year, first off, you got to have Calvin Johnson.
Okay, that is the first receiver we got. Calvin Johnson was our first pick, Calvin Johnson.
Yes, anybody, I had him last year, and I believe he had one game where he had like 250 yards in the first half. I don't even think I've done that in any man in my entire life. So Calvin Johnson has to be the first receiver to go in any league that you're in.
Yeah, he was the first pick that we got. So then on the way back, we got another receiver. You know, take a guess at who their second receiver was. If you had to pick the 2 best receivers in football.
if I was picking the 2 best in football, my second guy would probably be A.J. Green.
That's who we got.
Oh, great. Those I had both those guys last year, and there were games where I was dominating people before Sunday was even over.
How many teams were in your league, though, last year?
Last year, I believe we had 10 teams.
Right. This is 14 teams. And we got A.J. Green and Calvin Johnson. And
that's terrible drafting.
And the quarterback is Andrew Luck.
That's great because he's not going to put up monstrous numbers, but he'll put in enough to complement your 2 receivers.
He's going to have good numbers because he's got 3 legitimate receivers now, 3 stud receivers. Reggie Wayne's back. T.Y. Hilton is an emerging star, and Hakeem Nicks is arguably the best third receiver you could have on a team.
Yeah.
And then Kobe Fleener's, you know, a second-year guy that's, you know, going to contribute a lot more. You know, I think he's set to have, like, a really good statistical fantasy year.
I drafted Fleener, and, you know, real quick, I think this year he's going to probably – he probably won't be an elite tight end, but he'll have a much better year than he had last year. I mean, he played in college with Andrew Luck, so these guys have the rapport of, you know, with each other. So he's a sleeper too.
So, rounding off my fantasy team that you know, I'm helping out with, I said, you know, Calvin Johnson, AJ Green, Andrew Luck. The what running backs? Obviously, you would think would be a little bit of a downgrade after looking at those 2 receivers, but managed to get Frank Gore and Stephen Ridley, which I didn't think was too bad considering how thin running backs can get. I mean, Frank Gore's a starter on a team that runs the ball a lot and that, you know, tends to score touchdowns in the red zone and not so much as far out from outside the red zone. And Stephen Ridley, if he stays out of his fumble troubles, he seems to be the guy that gets the ball when they have a chance to score a touchdown. So I thought they were 2 good running backs to get considering how much was gone. And then Jordan Reed was the tight end, who I think is upside is huge with all the weapons they have in Washington now. And the Broncos defense and Gostkowski from New England is the kicker. So I think I'm pretty happy with how that worked out. Andy Dalton's a backup quarterback, and got a few good backups there. That, I mean, you always have to have a good bench, but, you know, got a few guys there that aren't bad. Hakeem Nicks as a 3rd wideout for a bye week. Drafted Odell Beckham just out of principle that had to draft a giant. even though that's going to kill that team if he doesn't get on the field soon. But how did you do in your two drafts?
The first draft I had, I think, is probably my most successful. I just want to state the second draft I had last night was 10 teams, and it was 22 rounds, and it was brutal. Like,
wow.
It was
22
brutal.
Rounds?
Yes,
oh, my God.
It was terrible. I wanted to quit halfway through it. But
That's what they hope for, though. Like, you know, people are just going to drop out, and I'll win by fault. Yeah.
And then there was somebody who didn't show up, so he used the full time limit every pick for the automatic pick, so that made things a lot slower.
Hey, you got to change that setting to automatically go immediately. None of that shit.
That's what I was saying.
You can't wait for that.
But the team I'm most proud of is the team in the league. I won the championship last year. My first pick. I think I had the second to last pick in the round. I don't know if I was being punished for winning last year, but pretty much everybody I wanted had been taken. Calvin Johnson, Jamal Charles, A.J. Green, everybody. So with my first pick, I took Eddie Lacy of the Green Bay Packers, and he's probably the first legit running back that Aaron Rodgers has had on that team, like legit threat.
Yeah.
I think he'll probably get 1,200 yards easy, maybe 6-7 touchdowns. So if you have a late first-round pick and all the big names are gone, all the locks, it's not a bad idea to look at Eddie Lacy. My second pick, I got a receiver, and I picked up Brandon Marshall. And I like Brandon Marshall because he not only does he get yards after the catch, but he gets those jump balls in the end zone. So he usually gets around 8-9 touchdowns. So
catches a lot
too
of
bad,
balls, too.
You know.
Yeah, points per reception, or is it just how is it in that league?
You get points per receptions.
Okay.
Which is good with him because
he catches a lot of balls.
Yeah. My quarterback once again is slim picking that quarterback, so I got Matthew Stafford.
He's a fantasy beast. Ray and I were talking about that last night. During our show, during the wrestling show, he's a fantasy beast. I mean, I wouldn't want him as my real quarterback because he throws up some prayers and makes awful decisions with the ball. But he piles up those stats, which is good in fantasy football.
He like you said, he gets a lot of yards. For my other running back, I got Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush, he's not gonna necessarily get you a lot of yards on the ground, but he returns kicks. Those screen passes. He'll take one for 60 yards here and there. So I got him pretty much as a flex guy. I really can't be upset with that. Another receiver I got was a guy I picked up last year, and he put up huge numbers for me, and I didn't expect it. It was DeAndre Hopkins from the Texans.
Right.
He's the number two guy, but Andre Johnson's kind of slowing down a little bit.
He gets hurt every year.
Yeah, he's always pulling something around game 4 or 5. So DeAndre Hopkins.
I don't like their quarterback though. I think they got problems.
And when you're excited about drafting a guy who's been sitting behind Tom Brady, no, you won't. You have some bad times ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good move for them. They just got to get him into the offense. You know what I mean? Like, they made the trade a little bit late in the preseason. To make a difference, but he'll probably be playing by week 5. Because Ryan Fitzpatrick is garbage.
How he keeps finding jobs, he basically stole the money from Buffalo.
He's living off that first 4 games when they were 4-0, maybe what, like 4 years ago when Buffalo was 4-0, and he got the contract like mid-season. He's living off those first 4 games still. He is just.
Some guys in him, he's making a killing, and Matt Flynn made a killing out, up in Seattle. He didn't even get a chance to play.
Yeah, he not even start.
But yeah, exactly. I also picked up Larry Fitzgerald in the late rounds. He's still a quality, but he's not, guy he was, 3-4 years ago. But he's quality, he gets receptions. He'll get you at least 800 yards, maybe 80 catches. So that's not bad if you're looking for a good second receiver, maybe even a flex guy. At tight end, I got Fleener, like you mentioned. I think he's going to have a pretty good year. He's going to surprise a lot of people. Like you said, they had 3 legit receivers, and it's going to open the field up for him. I think Akeem Nicks, I don't think he gets a lot of credit. He doesn't get the credit he deserves. When he was healthy, you know, he took some of that pressure from Victor Cruz, and that's when Cruz put up those huge numbers with the healthy Akeem Nicks.
That team hasn't been the same, or Eli hasn't been the same without Nicks healthy. So, you know, that proves your point.
Yeah, I always called Nicks, he was like Eli, you know, he was a safety blanket, similar to Plaxico during the first Super Bowl. But get in trouble, you don't anywhere near Akeem, he's going to get a hand on him. When it comes to my bench, I kind of, you know, when you're drafting bench guys, you don't have to go for big names. You go for guys who are consistent. And I have Anquan Boldin. He gets a lot of catches. He doesn't get big yardage, but catches a lot of passes. I got Ben Roethlisberger as my quarterback. He's another guy. Certain games he'll have 3 touchdowns. In other games he'll have, you know, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's getting a little older, but
he gets some rushing touchdowns occasionally too. He'll sneak it in every now and again, which is in most leagues I'm in, that's usually double points from throwing it. So
yeah, I got a backup running back. I got Darren Sproles as a New Yorker.
Oh.
And, you know, as a giant guys, we hate to admit it, but Philadelphia has a scary looking like it looks very scary.
Yeah,
and
their kicker is the guy
they can do.
Their kicker was probably one of the top free agents this past week after they decided to cut Henry and go with the rookie or whatever. It's like, hey,
yeah,
there's a guy that nobody drafted. Let me grab him because he's going to kick like 72 extra points a week.
Yeah, and you know, Sproles, he probably won't be running between the tackles, but similar to Reggie Bush, he'll be catching screen passes here and there. So I figure, you know, when I'm sitting one of my main guys, he'll be a good stopgap guy. And as far as defenses, in my league, you can draft 2 defenses. The first defense I got, without a shadow of doubt, was the Arizona Cardinals. They didn't make the playoffs last year, but they got a lot of takeaways. So Patrick Peterson, I don't want to say I hate Richard Sherman, but I think Richard Sherman has a lot of help around him, and you know that helps him out a lot. Patrick Peterson is what you call a shutdown corner. You know, he doesn't have too many great guys around him in that secondary. So I picked up the Arizona Cardinals, even though Darnell Dockett is probably done for the season. They have a pretty solid defensive line. So they'll get their share of interceptions, of sacks. They kind of live up their interception. And the backup defense, I got the Tampa Bay Bucks, only because Lovie Smith is there. They had a pretty solid defense last year. Know anything about Lovie. He loves defense. So that's another good stopgap, that Tampa Bay defense. And the last guy I picked up is another guy.
I was going to ask you a question, and, you know, a lot of people ask this question, and were you required to draft 2 defenses, or did you choose to do that?
I believe we were required to, only because last year.
Because I was going to ask you, if you're not required to, who in their right mind would ever draft 2 defenses? Because all you got to do is just pick one up. I mean, kickers and defenses for most leagues – and this is like, you know, some things you like kind of learn from new fantasy football players that kind of only done it for a year or so. Like, you literally only draft your starting kicker and your starting defense, and then as their bye week comes up, you know, you pick up one off the waiver wire and drop somebody that you don't need, and then cut them for the rest of the season and put your starter back in.
Exactly.
So that's why I was kind of curious. One question about defenses, and this is one that, you know, when I was picking a defense, I kind of looked at it. Obviously, the 49ers are ranked really high, but that ranking was before the suspension, before all this stuff happened. So, like,
yeah,
I thought they took a lot of steps back. But one defense that was ranked pretty highly in a lot of people's, you know, preseason rankings is the Rams, and justifiably so. I mean, their front 7, in particular, their front 4 is going to get to the quarterback a lot. Which, if you have a league that gives you a lot of points for sacks, or, you know, it's a good thing to have them. But what's your opinion on them as far as how the Bradford injury affects drafting their defense, if that makes any sense?
It does. You always hear, you know, the defense couldn't get off the field. And without Bradford, you're going to have a lot of 3 and outs. And
they're going to be on the field a long time.
Field, yes. Yes, and they might be playing on a lot of short fields, too, so they might be giving up a lot of field goals or, you know, short-run touchdowns. So I think it's going to affect them tremendously. I feel bad for them because, like I said, you finally build a team around Bradford and his knee goes again, and you're right back where you started from. So I think it's going to be a lot of Mondays when those guys go into, you know, the meeting, and the defense is going to be pissed off at the offense because they got them no time to breathe.
Yeah, now, I completely agree, and I considered taking the Rams before I took the Broncos. But I thought about it, and I said, you know, before the Bradford injury, I would have considered without a doubt. But after it, I said, you know, if you have a league that gives you a decent amount of points for points given up, I think their numbers are going to suffer due to this injury. Like you said, I think they're going to be on the field a whole lot, and even if they're only giving up field goals, they still add up. And playing with a short field a lot of times, and they're just going to be tired, man. They're going to be out there a lot.
Yeah.
Because the offense is not going to be effective at all. So they're going to be out there. Yes, they're going to still, I think, get sacks. But I think their numbers are going to just – the other aspects are going to be hurting. The interceptions, I think, will go down. And I also think that the points that they'll give up is going to also, you know, increase. So I think that it's hard to believe that losing a starting quarterback would really change where you draft the defense. But it absolutely affected it when I looked at it. And, I stayed away from them. For that simple fact. Not like you can go wrong with taking them, but if you're looking at top five defenses, it may drop them below where you originally had them. It did for me.
Yeah. We saw this maybe 3-4 years ago with Rex Ryan and the Jet, that Jets defense. That Jet offense was so terrible that Mark Scott and those guys, they were always on the field, and maybe for 2.5-3 quarters, you know, they'd have a team on lockdown, and then that fourth quarter comes along and the team just starts grinding the ball and running it and running it, and before you know it, they get beat over top because, you know, the guys have no legs.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you said the last player you drafted was who?
There's a wild card, you know, Sammy Watkins, and from everything I've heard and everything I've seen of him in practice, he looks amazing, and then the guy goes and he hurts his rib. And he aggravates the rib injury. So I'm hoping he's ready. Like I said, he's a bench guy, so I don't need him right away. But I'm hoping somewhere there in the season he, you know, gets back to some kind of form because he can be a dominant receiver if he's healthy.
That's why I took Beckham, kind of same reasons. Kind of a triple threat type of player. And was like, hey, let's just hold on to him. Hopefully he shows up somewhere throughout the season.
Yeah.
All right, we're your ultimate fantasy, and our phone number is 855-BOC-RADIO, 855-862-7234. Now, I'm not taking any breaks tonight because we're only on for an hour, and I don't really choose to take a break. But call in if you have any questions because the game's tomorrow, and I know that I could have used some help a lot of times last year, at least something to bounce ideas off of before Thursday's game because you have some decisions to make. One topic I want to switch gears about, and one of the reasons I don't continue with some of the leagues that I was in the past is some of the scoring or the rules that some of these leagues have. They drive me nuts. And to me, it's so illogical to do some of this stuff that it's almost a no-brainer to change the rule. And you sit there, you go to your draft year after year, and you bring up these changes, and you're like, all right, this is so simple that I don't even know why we're talking about it. Just change it. And people either don't listen or they listen and don't care, and then you vote and they don't change it. And it just frustrates the hell out of me. Like, this is something that came up in almost every league I'm in, okay? When the playoffs come around, okay, season ends, a lot of leagues will have, like, playoffs for the championship, and we'll also have, like, a loser's bracket that kind of will play for the first pick. So they call it the toilet bowl in a lot of leagues. So you have your fantasy bowl and you have your toilet bowl. So say you have a 12-team league, the top six seeds make the playoffs, four, the first two have a byes, and the other four, have to play each other. And the same thing happens the other way, so that the bottom six seeds will then play each other. You know what I mean? You have and the winner, you know, it goes in reverse order. So the winner of the toilet bowl gets the number one pick. The team that lost in the toilet bowl gets the second pick. And it works backwards. And then all the way up to the championship gets the last pick. Now, in this league, teams were allowed to continue to make moves once they were out of the contention of being the champion. So either they didn't make the playoffs at all. So they were in the toilet bowl playoffs. Or they were then in the playoffs and, like, lost, like, the first round or whatever. But then they would play, you know, they would play consolation games to, like, figure out where the exactly they were going to pick. But these teams were allowed to pick up waiver wire transactions and pick up free agents and stuff. And this blew my mind. Why are you allowed to do that? And the argument was, well, so everybody has a fair shot at getting the number one pick and all that. I'm like, guess what? You lost that right when you didn't make it.
Exactly.
You got to play with what you have. To me, and anybody out there that has this rule, call in and explain to me why you think you're allowed to make moves once you're no longer eligible for the championship. If you want the right to make moves, make the playoffs. And if you want to keep making moves, keep winning. Because to me, and what's more frustrating about it is not only were they able to get picks, but come championship week, right, there's a team playing for the championship that may need to make a move. But guess what? They were good all year, so they have a good record. So their waiver wire transaction is like at the end because it's always in reverse order, which is another stupid rule, okay? And so the team that's not even in the playoffs is able to steal a player away from the team playing for the championship because their waiver wire pick is higher because their record sucked.
Yeah, so now that's
terrible. It's asinine. And I'm going, how in the world, first of all, is that team allowed to get anybody because they're not even playing anymore for anything that's real? Number two, how are they picking higher than a team that's actually playing for something? I don't understand how that works.
And you know, I'm a cynic when it comes to – who's to say that, you know, one of the teams playing in the championship didn't strike a deal with one of the guys in the toilet bowl, like, hey, keep so-and-so away from this guy. Like, a lot of things can happen in that type of situation.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah, like, exactly. Like, hey, you pick up this guy's not going to have a quarterback this week because whatever. So pick up this guy for me so that the guy I'm playing can't grab him, and he's stuck with a guy that's going to get pulled out in the second quarter because they've clinched their division. You know what I mean? Like,
there's so many things that can happen.
And the other thing about it that drives me crazy is that going back to that waiver wire, the fact that you continue to punish good teams all year long by making them go last in the waiver wire is absurd. Let's just keep making the teams that are good suffer, and the teams that suck and don't do the good amount of work, let's just keep rewarding them and trying to make them better just because they refuse to get better. But to me, every league should have some sort of financial waiver system, like $100 of quote-unquote free agent money or whatever. And if you want to pick up a player, you put in money, like not real money. It's 100 fake dollars, okay? You put in your claim for the player and how much you want to spend for him, okay, before you know what anybody else has done. And whoever, if you two people put in that same player, the guy that put in the request for more money gets him. And if you don't want to, like, really, if it's just a wasted guy you're just picking up to pick up, you put in a dollar and you get him or whatever. If you don't get him, then you don't get him. But if there's a guy you really want, then you're going to put a lot of money in for him, and you deserve him because you used almost all your money on him. And it also opens up the possibility of using that money as part of trades. If somebody uses all their money and doesn't have money left to pick up anybody, like at the end of the year, you could say, hey, I'll make this trade with you, and I also want like 10 free agent dollars just so I can make a pickup for the rest of the season kind of thing.
Not a bad idea.
No, I mean, the league I was in did a money free agent system because it really just showed you if you want somebody, you're forced to go after them. But it didn't punish the good teams. Everybody had the same right at every player. It was just you had to decide how much you're willing to give up for it. To me, the fact that good teams get punished every week is a joke.
It is, and it makes it. It almost makes it difficult to dominate a league when you're constantly giving a guy. And look, and this is fantasy, you know, fantasy football, you know, all everything's even. You know, nobody has an advantage unless you're just, you know, clueless on how to draft and don't know anything about the NFL. You shouldn't be giving anybody an advantage in fantasy football. Everybody should have to even play. And you should reward people who did things the right way.
And you shouldn't punish the people that are doing a good job just because somebody's doing a shitty job. You shouldn't keep making that other shitty person. You don't keep enabling the shitty person. You just don't do it. You know what I mean? You don't do it. And speaking of idiots, I didn't even mention this, the draft that I was involved in. So, you know, there's always sometimes you get a knucklehead in your league that, you know, it helps out the rest of the people because you weren't sure if you were going to have Peyton Manning there at number 7 or whatever. But there's always somebody that does something absolutely absurd. And this guy drafted Nick Foles 5th overall in the entire draft.
No.
Fifth overall in the entire draft.
Wow.
I mean, part of me just laughed. I laughed out loud. I literally laughed out loud. And then I was like, all right, good. I'm definitely going to get Calvin Johnson now because that pushes it back one more pick. And this is the same guy that took Ray Rice in, like, the 10th round. So,
you know,
apparently they haven't been watching the news.
Yeah, right. I have a buddy who's listening. I hope he calls in because I told him to listen. He had the number one pick in the draft, and he drafts Dez Bryant. Now, number one overall. He picks Dez Bryant, and we're everybody's. You know, we had a draft party. Everybody's like stunned silence, like when Brock Lesnar pinned the Undertaker. Like nobody can believe what just happened.
Was that guy at your party just to make that face?
Yes, just like with the face. So he picks Dez Bryant number one, and I'm 100% certain. Like, okay, he's going to pick Tony Romo within the next 3 rounds because if you think Dez Bryant is good enough to take number one, you have to take the guy who's throwing him the ball. You have to. It's common sense.
Unless he's got a broken back and you're not sure if he's going to make the whole year.
That's true. And you know, second round goes, he picks somebody else. Third round, and then the fourth round, he picks Joe Flacco as his quarterback, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, come on, like, are you throwing the league? Like, are you even trying? And he's like, well, I have my own kind of plan. I'm like, okay, guy, whatever. But if anybody's listening, please do not pick Dez Bryant. He's a good top 10 pick. But
Joe Flacco.
If you're going to take a receiver number one, make it Calvin Johnson. I love AJ Green, but I don't even think he's worth the number one.
There's no receiver that's worth the number one pick. I don't care if Jerry Rice is still playing. He's not worth the number one pick overall.
It was just like stunned silence when it popped up. You know, Dez Bryant. Everybody was like, wow. So.
Wow. I thought I had a story with Nick Foles. I think you topped it. Wow, man. So anyway, yeah, that's some of the rules that really annoy me. And like, you know, you have like a 12-team league and like, you know, 4 teams make the playoffs. I'm like, how does that work? That drives me nuts. And the other thing that drives me nuts is you do all that and you go, wait a minute, you got a 14-team league, which is absolutely absurd. If you're going to have a 14-team league, you might as well just run 2 7-team leagues that it just goes by overall standings, you know, head-to-head.
Yeah.
But so this team's 14, this league is 14 teams, but there's one division. One division.
Like, wow.
They try to make it simple for people that aren't, like, taking it really seriously. But that doesn't mean you have to make it, like, idiotic. You know, just because it's simple doesn't mean it's stupid. But apparently it does.
Yeah. I mean, some of these commissioners of these leagues, I think they get off on making things more difficult than they have to be. Like I said, you hear something, like you said, you know, all those teams, only 4 guys make the playoffs. It's like, you know, what the hell is the point?
We have a caller, Derek.
Oh, okay.
All right. Let's go to the caller. Who's this?
This is Rat Boy.
Rat Boy?
I got a good question, okay?
All right.
Okay,
I got
Rat
a good
Boy.
Question for you guys.
Shoot.
Okay. On these fantasy picks, okay? 1 year I was in it. All right?
Mm-hmm.
This butthead, okay? I'm not saying no names.
We'll call him
right? He picked everybody from the Dallas roster.
Right. Well, just like the guy in this league that I was in, it took Nick Foles. It's because they're Eagles fans. They're local Eagles fans.
Right. Everybody has to get their own people and all. How are you going to win? You got to pick different people every time. You got to pick this person. You got to pick people from different teams. But no, this knucklehead, he just picked everybody from the Dallas roster all the way
down. The one thing I will say about that is, yes, you have no chance to win, okay, if you do that. However, the thing that we talked about in the beginning of the show, Derek, when with, like, you know, how Brady probably has to, like, root for, like, his own guys to do bad in certain leagues and all that kind of stuff. With that, at least you're cheering for, like, your own players. So, like,
yeah,
it's nothing worse than cheering against your own pro team. Like, that's almost, like, illegal. That's like a violation to, like, have to root against your own players from the team you cheer for just so you can win a fantasy game. Like, the ultimate question's always been, like, okay, this game, you're playing in the fantasy playoff Super Bowl, and your kicker is about to kick the winning kick for the team playing your pro team, and it knocks them out of the playoff. Do you want him to make the kick so you win your fantasy bowl, or do you want him to miss the kick so your pro team makes the playoffs? Like, that is that's where that whole allegiance comes from, drafting the entire team.
That's one thing
I would not try not to do. Just pick the people that I know that are going to do good.
Right.
I have a question, Rat Boy. Who do you root for in the NFL? Who's your team?
You really want to know?
Yes.
Go, Eagles, go! Go, Eagles, go! Okay. Fly, Eagles, fly!
That's enough.
Why?
All right,
Eagles this year.
This year? Just this year?
This year
is going to be their year.
I know. I keep hearing that, and that's always that always set teams. It always seems to work out for you when people say that is your year. That always seems to happen. That exactly the way people write it down and predict it when.
Who are you guys going for? Dallas, the Giants.
We're actually both Giants fans, which is tough.
It's gonna be a rough year.
Yeah. So, but you know what? At least we know we're not going to win a Super Bowl this year.
There you go.
That's the difference between us. That's the difference between me and you, is that we know we're not going to win. You just don't know it yet. But you'll figure
it
out.
What is that? There's one thing that I don't like. All right. When this season kicks off tomorrow. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And if Dallas wins, all of a sudden, the Eagles lose. You're going to hear, Dallas won. Yeah. Yo, the game's not over till it's over, and plus the season's not over yet. You cannot say by the first game who's going to win what.
Well, Rat Boy, you have to understand, Cowboys fans have to get, you know, they have to hold on to any ball victory they can get. Like, it's going to be a long year for them, too, because that defense is terrible.
Anytime they get over 500, they got to brag
because they finish that 500. And then we said, how many rings that Dallas got? How many rings that the Eagles got? I don't want to hear that. You know, that's old news.
That's right, Rap.
You guys haven't. I said Dallas haven't been to a Super Bowl yet, but at least the Eagles made the playoffs to go to the Super Bowl. You guys
did. That's right, Rap Boy.
Thanks, Rap Boy. Thanks for calling in and listening.
Yeah, okay.
Take it easy, man.
Yep.
All right, so. It may be old news, Rat Boy, but it is true news that there are no rings. there's no truer news than the fact that there are no rings and that the Cowboys do have like five.
Yes.
So it may be old. It may be dusty. But guess what? Once you dust off all that dust, it's still news.
It's still a ring. Exactly.
It still exists. Right. But when you clear your dust, it's just a finger. It's just a very, very, very empty finger. So anyway, but yeah. So that's some of my pet peeves with what's going on in fantasy football. That, you know, that you have those kind of rules that happen. And you know, I'll point them out because the commissioner of this one league that I was in is just like fails to listen to any kind of reason and just is a complete dope with stuff. So. As the stuff happens, you ever get one of those commissioners that, like, magically a trade gets put through, but it involves him? You're like, my trade's taking, like, 3 weeks to process? But, like, this trade on the transaction board all of a sudden says processed by league manager. It's like you got him available the next day. the hell's going on there?
My last year in my league, Aaron Rodgers was my starting quarterback. When he broke his collarbone, like I scrambled to get, you know, any decent, you know, quarterback, you know, to at least hold in and see. Because every week they kept saying he was going to come back. So I was holding, I didn't want to drop.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my commissioner, I forget what the trade was, but, you know, while I'm waiting for my, you know, my pending transaction, automatically the day he puts in the trade request, it went through and it's accepted. And I'm like, what the hell is this?
Some shady shit goes on.
I have no control. Like, yes, you do. You're the commissioner. Come on.
Now, we've all seen what the commissioner's settings are. We know that you can just accept it. Oh, that's the other thing. In this league, apparently, the only way, last year in this league, there was a veto, a trade veto. So as soon as a trade went through, you got an email that, like, you know, a trade went through. And if you didn't do anything, it just, you know, nobody did anything, it just went through. But you could also choose approve, which would also just, you know, make it go through. Or you could choose, like, veto. So, like, you know, if it was, like, a bullshit trade, which a lot of them, the one happened to be, like, pretty bullshit trade. So, you know, I clicked veto, and I happened to send out a couple text messages and emails to other people encouraging them to click veto as well, which I don't think was too appreciated. But either way, the trade got vetoed, and it was like a whole, you know, fantasy football drama. You know, everybody got all upset and all that kind of stuff. But so long story short is, this year, guess what the veto rule is?
What is it?
It's no veto rule. The only person that can veto a trade is the commissioner.
There's the commissioner. There you go.
I'm like, what the hell is going on? This is ridiculous.
Some of these commissioners, they get drunk with power. I've witnessed, like, some pretty heated exchanges between a commissioner and another player with a trade and stuff like that. But these guys, you know, they get out of hand sometimes, and it's, you know, it's one thing to try to be shady and nobody knows who it is, but when you're the commissioner, we all know what's going down. It's like, you know, Triple H screwing the boss's daughter. We know what's going on around here.
Yes, and it frustrated me because I actually called him out on it a couple of times and he tried to deny it. I'm like, no, wait a minute. That's not how it went down. You actually just put a trade through just now. I don't know. Ridiculous. But anyway, so, phone number again, 855-VOC-RADIO, 855-862-7234. And, I mean, don't make this our only show. Call in, because if we don't get any callers besides Rat Boy, we may have to shut this thing down next week. Because I can only talk about so many topics for so long. But looking at, I think the important thing is, we talked about the teams you draft and how good they look. And I think everybody either comes out of the draft loving their team or hating their team. But for every person that loves their team, I think the most important thing, like you heard me say the team I had, you go, oh, well, that's a pretty good team. And the players you had, I said, yeah, you did a good job drafting. That's a good team. I think the true sign is you have to be able to look at what other people have to determine how good a team it is. I think that's what a lot of people fail to do.
Yeah, and you know, you can always tell the person who doesn't really know football and they're going off of names. Like, I was in my league last night. There was a guy who took Adrian Peterson third overall. I'm like, yeah, you know, this isn't 2009. You know, Adrian Peterson was, you know, the best running back in the league. I had another guy that took Marshawn Lynch number 8, and me and you, we're pretty knowledgeable, you know, NFL fans, and any knowledgeable fan knows when a guy hits that 29, 28, you know, 30 range, he slows down a lot, especially guys like Adrian Peterson and Marshawn Lynch, definitely, who, you know, who have manned an offense and carried the ball like 300 times a year. So if you have somebody like that in your league, you know, as long as you don't have their draft habits, you're not bad.
Now, looking at the game tomorrow night, Packers-Seahawks, you know, obviously there's two good teams. There's going to be a lot of players from those teams that people have in their starting lineups. Anybody in particular that you would stay away from playing tomorrow night? I mean, I have a few that I would think would be guys to stay away from. Anybody in particular you would not start if you had a choice?
It hurts me to say this because he's my childhood friend. My buddy Andrew Wallace plays tight end for the Packers, starting tight end because Jermichael Finley's still hurt. I would stay away from him only because that secondary, and you know they're pretty strong. And I know they've changed the rules a little bit, you know, with the hand contact, you know, and they're kind of cut
awful.
Down on the grabbing.
So bad.
Yeah, but yes, and
unwatchable.
I'm one of you guys. I have a hard time believing the refs are going to throw that many flags once the regular season happens. I have a hard time believing that. But even on top of that, they're going to play in Seattle, which is probably the hardest place to play in all of football.
Because they cheat. Yeah, because they cheat.
Yes, they do cheat. And the noise level and all that stuff, any advantage they can get. And I would stay away from maybe – out of all the receivers, I'd probably pick Randall Cobb because he was a speed guy and he can take like a 5-yard curl and turn it into a 15-yard game. But I'd stay away from anybody else because, like you said, they cheat a lot in Seattle. It's going to be hard. I think it's going to be a close game. But
yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Are there any Packers? I mean, Cobb, obviously. But other than that, I would probably stay away from a lot. I mean, obviously you're going to start Aaron Rodgers if you draft him because – he's a stud, but either I see him having a down week, or like you might have some problems with Lacy. I don't think there's going to be a lot of offense out of that team this week. I think if you can avoid a Packer, I would go with another guy. You know, unless it's like your first two round picks, you're obviously going to start Lacy or Rodgers, but I don't think you can expect a whole lot out of them. Now, as far as the Seattle side, obviously, their defense is a must start, but offensively, people are calling for looking for Russell Wilson to have a even better year than last year. To me, it's still statistically not a great fantasy year, even if he does improve. He's not a huge fantasy numbers guy, but I think for them, the guys to look out for tomorrow night are probably obviously Lynch, and I think look out for their tight ends. I think any of their tight ends are liable to score a touchdown tomorrow. If you have,
You mentioned Aaron Rodgers as a stud, and if anybody needs any proof of that, just look how bad his defenses have been, and he's won division titles with that terrible defense, and they're not really good at stopping the run. So Marshawn Lynch, even though I just bash people for taking him early, he might have a big game tomorrow night because that defense is, I know Clay Matthews does all the commercials and stuff like that, but those guys aren't too good, and I believe they lost one of their defensive tackles to a season injury and bicep injury. So that's another guy in the middle that could possibly clog up the hole for Lynch. So I'd definitely start Lynch.
Now, obviously, we're not guaranteeing any results if you call the show and ask a question or if advice we give out. Not guaranteeing it will work, and it will be a lot of times it will be wrong. But so just be aware of that. But we think it's pretty good advice based on our success in the past with what we've done. But one thing I will say, and this is one thing that comes up, I don't like having to be a lineup juggler. I like not having a lot of doubt in my mind week to week what I'm doing. It's always good to have some stability. And that being said, there are people that love playing matchups and playing that game every week about looking at the defense and whether they're good against the pass or the run or who they have and all that kind of stuff. I've always been a huge believer of you drafted a guy in a certain spot for a reason.
Yeah.
You drafted a guy in the first 5 rounds because he's supposed to play every week, not because you're supposed to be asking yourself if you're going to start him or not. Now, there are times that bite you in the ass. Like, I'm not going to lie, last year with Ray Rice. Drafted Ray Rice like 4th overall last year. And I kept running with him. Like, all right, I'm going to keep putting his ass out there. And it just kept killing me. It wasn't going. And then, of course, finally said, all right, he's going on the bench. And that was the week with 3 touchdowns. And it was only like 25 yards or something, but it was 3 touchdowns. So, and then like the next week, put him back in there and he didn't do shit. So, there is the rare circumstance where, you need to just cut your losses and unload the people. But for the most part, you draft a guy that highly because he's supposed to play every week. And if you keep that thought process in your mind, this is one thing I've always learned, that, you know, when you start flipping guys in and out and you, like, you change somebody and then you made the wrong choice and you're mad at yourself, you're like, oh, I wasn't going to change it, and I did, I shouldn't have, blah, blah, blah. If you just keep those guys, keep your starters as your starters, you can never, ever get mad at yourself for second-guessing yourself or for making a change.
Exactly.
You just say, these are my starters, they're always going to be my starters unless they're hurt or on a bye, and I'm never going to change it. And if I lose, I lose, but that's just the way it's going to be. I can't guess every week. I just need to have those guys in there.
Yeah, and that kind of, like I said, when I had Aaron Rodgers, and he broke his collarbone, and, like, you know, they kept saying, well, he might play this week, and I had guys in my league, like, cut him. Was like, no, I drafted him high because he's my guy. He's my guy. Like, if he comes back, and he came back, and he had a pretty decent game, I believe, the last game of the season. But like you said, if you draft a guy high, it's because you believe in him. And no matter what, you know, you play that person. You go out with your big guns.
And there might be a guy that week that you have that scores more points than Aaron Rodgers. But guess what? And you might have lost if you might have won if you played the other guy or whatever. But you never would have done that. So don't worry about it. You can't doubt yourself. Just go out there and you win with who you got and you lose with who you got. But you got to just keep playing him so you're not, like, guessing every week and also then, like, second guessing and all that nonsense.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to bring something up that a sleeper pick for people. I drafted the guy. This is, I believe, the day that the news came out. Wes Welker, obviously, he's had three concussions. He's had three concussions in 10 months. Apparently, he's an ecstasy junkie.
picked the wrong week to quit Smith and Glue.
Yeah, exactly. And I've been telling anybody who can listen to pick up Emmanuel Sanders, only because he's a pretty good receiver, and Peyton Manning has a tendency to make decent guys look amazing, and I think Emmanuel Sanders is just going to slide into Wes Welker's place, and he's going to probably won't have as many catches because Wes Welker has pretty good hands, but he's going to have monstrous touchdown in the yardage numbers. And if anybody thinks I'm lying, Jet fans, just watch what Eric Decker does this year with Geno Smith for himself. He won't put up the numbers he put up last year.
And Emmanuel Sanders is a good pickup just because he crapped on Ben Roethlisberger, which always is a good thing. the other thing, and I was thinking about while you were talking, the other thing that drives me crazy with some of these leagues, the league I was involved with in the past started to try to make, like, trades for future things. Like, have you encountered this where somebody wants to trade, like, a guy they have now and something else for next year's second-round pick?
And yeah.
I'm like, wait, that just doesn't work. Like, because you never know, like, what's going to happen and if that person, for some reason, may not be in the league next year. It could be the craziest thing. It could be something, like, as simple as, like, they can't afford to do it, or there might be something that they actually aren't allowed to do it. Like, who knows? You know?
Yeah.
But either way, so, like, you're forcing the guy that you traded with, right, the second-round pick, the guy that takes his place the following year, has to give that guy his second-round pick?
And he's not trying to hear it, yeah. He's not trying.
Well, he shouldn't have to. It's ridiculous. And then when you tell him, hey, you want to join a league, okay, but just let you, so you know, you don't have a second-round pick because the guy you're replacing traded it last year. That's ridiculous. And to me, every league's year is its own entity. I'm not a big fan of keeper leagues. I mean, I've done them because I had to, because that was the rules. But, you know, if I had a choice, every league would start over and you would do everything as its own separate thing, and then it starts all over brand new, and you have to just go from the beginning. That's where you really show how good you are. The keeper leagues become ridiculous.
I've never played in the keeper league. I was asked to join one last year, and I chose to stay away. For the reason you said, every year should just be a whole new thing. Start with a blank slate, and that's ridiculous.
It gets nuts. I mean, you start getting in these rules that, like, okay, every year, depending on where you drafted the guy, it's fine, you lose that round, and then the next year it moves up a round if you keep him again. And in the fourth year, it's actually that's the longest you can keep a guy. And then if you start trading your future considerations, and all, it's like nonsense. Just like, you know, I've won leagues with the first pick. I've won leagues with the last pick. I've won leagues with the pick in the middle. It's just, you know, and I've won leagues based on, you know, starting guys that I drafted, I've won a championship game, and then I've won a championship game with guys that weren't even on my team the day after the draft, more than half of them. So it's like, guess what? The real good players are gonna play and make themselves successful. So, you know, just that's how you show that you can play, and do that every year. Don't count on the fact that I can, you know, keep Shady McCoy or you know, Adrian Peterson for 3 years, or, you know, the fact that I was the guy that actually was dumb enough to, well, it didn't end up being dumb, but at the time it was dumb, to draft Adrian Peterson, you know, the year after he got hurt. I drafted him like 10th, in the 10th round, because nobody wanted to touch him because he tore ACL the year before, and ended up dropping 2,000 yards, and I'm like, hey, he's a beast, so I'm going to use him as my keeper, and I'm going to lose my 10th round pick, when in fact he would have been like the first overall pick, and I lost my 10th
pick.
I literally, last year at this draft, the top 8 players were not even available. So you literally just started drafting like from like the 10th pick on. It's like, who the hell do you draft? It's like, all right, let's just skip the first round. It's basically just the second round now.
Yeah, that I hate that when, you know, you start a draft and the guys are going down in the order that they're ranked. It's like, oh. You know, like, especially if you're at the end of the draft.
Yeah. There's just nobody left because they were already taken before there was even a draft. You're like, oh, yeah, these 7 guys are being kept. Oh, and by the way, Adrian Peterson's being kept, but he doesn't count as a first-round pick because he was drafted in the 10th round. So this guy's going to end up with you know, McCoy and Peterson, because he's actually got the first pick because he won the toilet bowl because he picked up a player you were going to pick up because he was still allowed to pick up players. It's just shit. Anyway, it's amazing we still managed to win with how they just throw up these roadblocks against us, Derek. It really is.
I know. And every year it's something new. Like, it gets frustrating after a while.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. Anyway, I'm glad, you know, we were able to get this first show on the air. I mean, as far as the regular season on Sunday goes, I mean, to me, your must-starts are still your must-starts. I don't think there's anybody that is a surprise. I mean, obviously, you mentioned Sanders for the Broncos. I think anybody on Denver is a good pick at this point.
Yeah.
You know, the running back, I don't know if he's going to be as good as Moreno was, but he'll probably have a good year. I also think that anybody on New Orleans is probably a pretty good pick. Did Jimmy Graham go in the first round of your draft?
Yes, he went. I picked 7th. He went 6th. He went right before my pick. I was shocked because, you rarely see tight ends go in the first round. I mean, even when Gronk was at his height, I don't think I was in the league where he went in the first round.
No, I was very surprised by that. But, I mean, he was ranked like 10th. Like a lot of like mock drafts, but a lot of people just wouldn't take him. He still didn't go until like 15th or 16th. It's a simple fact because nobody really wanted to waste a pick. They could have gotten like a, you know, a first round talent, and so they just waited on him. But still, I mean, he scores receiver type points every week. So I guess that was the thinking on that. So I don't know, but Derek, it was fun. Go ahead.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Like I said, and any time I can talk football, whether it be fantasy or real life, I always
absolutely. And you know, I'm hoping to do it again next week, simply because it's a good concept and people love to do it. So I hope to continue your fantasy for everybody next week. It is your ultimate fantasy with DJ and Derek. Hopefully we'll get some promotion out there this week and people will have more questions. People will be panicking because somebody will drop for the ACL tear this week and they won't know who to pick up. But I don't know. I think it's going to be a very, very good year for our teams, of course, just because of the fact that we know what to do with them once things go wrong. That's what it's all about, people. Don't panic. Just make adjustments. That's what it's all about. Like the Giants are going to do all year.
Hopefully.
We'll get that offense going. All right, guys. Thanks for joining us. Derek, thanks. And I guess we will see you Tuesday for In the Room, and not we will see you on Wednesday as well. All right, guys. Later. We'll be right back.